Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I really enjoy being here at Gila Mountain for one simple reason, and that's my love of God through Christ. But one of the other reasons I like being here and being able to speak today, especially today, is the fact that I'm not stuck up on a pulpit. I can move around, and I do that. And for those of you that may not be your custom, forgive me. I like being down with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because I am one of you. So if you see me come right down really close, it's because I want to see your warm, smiling faces, and I need that support. It's not easy to be a preacher, even if we study for years and years and years and have the hands placed upon us at our ordination. It's still not easy. So be with me in prayer as we go together into today's message. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts combined be acceptable to you, for you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, Father's Day, I spent the day, well, actually the whole weekend, in San Diego. Pardon me. One of the things that we did on Saturday was to go to the San Diego Zoo. Now, we took four of the grandkids with us, as well as my daughter and her husband, Travis. Three of those grandkids were their children, and then my grandson, Caleb, who is nine, came along with us, and he's from Mesa. We thought it would be good if we dressed these kids in the same color. That way, we could take and see them and know which one were ours. Yeah, right. It seems as though every other parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent that was there in the zoo that day dressed their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren all in red, which is what we did. But what was unique to me, pardon me again, we had a 3, a 5, a 7, and a 9 with us, and they all followed one another in the row. And I was reminded of a particular day in 1967. I know that some of you that are here today were not around at that time, but some of us were. I got off of a back end of a pickup truck after being picked up at the Santa Fe train depot in San Diego, California. I was told, keep your eyes straight forward, your mouth shut, and you'll do all right. That was my introduction to the United States Marine Corps. Only they said a few other choice metaphors that I will not utter here. We got through the main gate, over to the receiving barracks, and outside receiving barracks were row upon row upon row of the brightest yellow footprints anyone could have ever seen. And no one here, ladies, believe me, has that bright yellow on today. I mean, they just stuck out. Even in the dark, they stuck out like the rays of the sun. This gentleman came out of the receiving barracks in his uniform with his Smokey the Bear hat on, and he said, all right, all of you, get on those yellow footprints. He used, as I said, a few colorful metaphors, as Mr. Spock would say. And they were more colorful as the day went on. Well, as time went on, I learned to follow the orders of those who were superior to me. They may not have been superior in intellect or in stature. Yeah, they were taller, but I'm not looking at that. But they were of a superior rank. I soon learned the words of the code of conduct. I learned my general orders. And one of the general orders says to obey all commands of those who are superior to you. So you learned to follow directions. Moms and dads take an ornament amount of time to teach their youngers how to follow directions, so that when they go into school the very first day, that poor kindergarten teacher has not got more chaos than they already have because of it being the first day of school. Today's scripture reading from Luke, that ninth chapter, verses 51 through 62, I believe is what it is, talks about following Jesus. How do we go about doing that? Because he said some things to some individuals. He said, come follow me. Some of those people that he said that to said, sure. Dropped everything right on the spot, came and followed. Then there were those who said, well, yes, I'd love to, but first let me go back and bury my father. And to the other one, he said, come follow me. And that one said, but first, let me go do this or go do that. My friends, we live in an age where if our Lord and Savior were to appear today and say to you, come follow me, what would our answer be? Sure, I'll come along, but let me go home and pack. I need to take my silk shirt. I need to take my Nintendo DS. I need to take a laptop because I can't live with... Oh, and then I've got to have my cell phone. I can't live without that cell phone. We got too much baggage. We really do. We have too much baggage for us to be able to drop everything. Because that's what Jesus said to his disciples. Come follow. And I will make you fishers of men. And here those strong fishing people dropped everything to come along on that e-ticket ride. Anybody remember the e-ticket at Disneyland?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few of us do. For those of you who are younger, there used to be A, B, C, D, and E tickets at Disneyland. And as you came through the gate, you were given this coupon book. And if I remember right, there were only two e-tickets. And that was before the days of Pirates of the Caribbean, in fact. That's my favorite ride. Your coupon book with Jesus is all e-tickets. Amen. Praise God for that. What does it take to be a follower of Jesus, especially in today's age? Number one, no height restriction, no age requirement, no bias on ethnic background, no check mark male or female on that admission form. A warm heart is required. A belief in Jesus, the resurrected Son of God, is the number one requirement. Believe it or not, in this day and age, June 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2010, there are still people in this world who do not meet requirement number one. Requirement number one is so simple. There are words later on in the New Testament that tell us some of our job descriptions. But it also tells us what's going to happen for us with that belief. The words come from John, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall have eternal and everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to destroy it." And we're going to say something here today that's different than what the written word is. He did not send the Son into the world to destroy it, but to make it well. And if there's ever a time in this world's life that it needs to be made well, it's today. It's today. Let's look at that section of Scripture for just a second, if you will. If you have your books with you, that's the Bible. Turn to that section, Luke 9, 51 through 62. One of my fellow pastors as I was going through seminary is a fellow by the name of Reggie Scales. Reggie stood 6'4", weighed about 275 pounds, and every bit of it was muscle. Reggie never played professional football, but he could have been a defensive tackle with a heartbeat. Reg would say to congregations wherever he spoke, and he would do this, he would put his bookmark in the spot where he was going to emphasize and hold his book as he called it up. And he said, "Take out your books, open it up, and don't make it a dust collector when you get back home." I've remembered that about Reggie. I haven't seen him in years, but sound words even yet today. Don't make it a collecting point for dust when you get back home. I want to look at verse 57 for a few minutes. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, this is verse 58, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." As a little kid, that used to make me so sad. But then my wise grandmother, my grandmother Blakesley, all 4'8" of her, see, there's shortness in the family for a long time, she said to me, "Walter, don't you worry about that, because Jesus is going to live in your heart, so he's going to have a place to live and a place to lay his head, because you have a strong body. The little kid in me then thought, that's good. And even today, that's good. Even today, as we look in this world and see such divisiveness, gender bias, the strangeness of couples cohabitating together that may not be right. And I'm not going to get into that. Each of us have enough to bear with our cross that we don't have to take on that. God so loved the world. That includes each and every one of us here as 21st century Latter-day Saints. And believe it or not, that's what we are. We are saints. We, as 21st century Christians, take up that responsibility to follow Christ. Number one, it's a privilege. It's an honor given to us as we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and believe in His Father, our Heavenly Father. That's the first requirement taken care of. Number two, dedication. Being dedicated to Christ in today's age is no easy task. But I tell you what, the rewards are fantastic. And we'll see them in heaven. There's no doubt about it. Number three, and this is the last of these heavy requirements, it makes sense. And I'm not talking C-E-N-T-S. It makes sense for us to believe in Jesus because of the fact that He died for our sins. Washed them away, gave us a clean slate. We're batting 1,000% when we go to His side. The end run around Satan is made easier when you've got Jesus Christ as your quarterback. You've got the disciples as your front line. And you can run fullback with that at any time. Are you going to follow? Are you following now? Praise God that you are. Amen.